Open to the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read the account of Hannah. And Hannah lived in the day where Eli was basically the last judge. He was a judge, last judge before Samuel. He was a judge, and he wasn't much of a judge by this stage, because the word of God says in those days, Chapter 3, the word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation. It came to pass at that time, Eli was lying down. His eyes had become dim. He could not see before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle. So it's a time where there's no prophetic revelation. There's no prophetic revelation, and the priesthood had fallen a great height, and there's no voice because God's man had allowed himself to grow old, and the anointing was now old. You know, you can, in the spirit, you can allow yourself to grow old. There's no age in the spirit. You can allow yourself to grow old. When you're young, you're praying, you're fasting, you seek after God, but then you get old and you say, I can't do that stuff anymore. Eli allowed himself to grow old in the spirit. And therefore, the spirit of revelation and the anointing of the Holy Spirit came off his life. So that was the day that Hannah lived in. It was a day where Israel, God's people, were not doing very well. In fact, they were doing poorly. So I read from verse 1, chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And wherever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continually praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How will you be drunk? How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman with sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to the Lord her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. I'll leave it there. Verse 27 just says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked for. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lived, he shall be led to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. It's a wonderful encounter, how someone who was barren, God does things through barren women. You know, so many women, five women who were barren in the scriptures, God produced prophets, kings, or deliverers from. He not only opened her womb, but in chapter 2, said the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Same womb, but suddenly the womb was not only opened, but it became abundant. And any area of your life which is closed, which is not prospering, which is not abundant, that is the area God desires to make supernaturally abundant. The area of your life which is not naturally abundant, God, that's the area. Because Jesus came to give abundant life. And his plan is from barrenness to abundance. His plan is from ashes to beauty. And I feel like, particularly to women, but not just to women today, but to men also, God wants you to know that he is the God of Hannah, and he desires his people to be a victorious people and to live in abundance. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants and to satiate our souls with abundance. But, of course, the enemy doesn't want us to become abundant, does he? We have an enemy, we have an opposition. But I want us to just appoint the reason Hannah's life changed, and the reason everybody's life changes by the power of God, by virtue of the power of God, is because of the way we pray. And James says the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. In other words, the fervent, which means, it means, the word means boiling over. I know some people say, I like a quiet prayer meeting. I like a prayer meeting that's boiling over because it affects much. It accomplishes things. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It gets stuff done with God. It connects to heaven so that heaven, the power of heaven, moves and changes situations. And I'm telling you, anyone who has a situation changed by God, that person is a praying person. That person is a praying woman. That person is a praying man. That person is a person of intercession. That person is a person who knows how to storm heaven. And I want us to speak about this woman today and how God turned her situation from barrenness to abundance. And I want us to have a look at her prayer. And it says here that, I love this, that in verse 15, Hannah prayed, and Eli, when he saw her praying, thought she was drunk. She said, I haven't drunk anything, but I poured out my soul to the Lord. I want to tell you, there's a prayer that's just religious, and there's a prayer that does business with God. There's a prayer, I call it honest to God, where you come to God, and God loves that. You don't pray what he thinks you want him to pray. You don't pray what you've heard other people pray. You pray what your situation is. You get honest to God, and you say, God, I have not this. God, my children are away from you. God, I'm sick and I'm not healed. God, my finances are in a mess. God, I can't get a job. And you get real to God, and you connect with God, and you speak to God, and you're honest with God. God loves it. There's a thing you can never do with God. You can never cross the line. Job's wife said, curse God and die. There's a difference between accusing God, you'll get nowhere, and you'll come under the judgment for accusing God. But God does love us to be honest with him. It's a sign of faith. It's a sign you really believe he's going to move, is that we're honest to God. So she came, and she came to God. And she was honest about her prayer. She poured out her soul, and she prayed. I want you to see this prayer. She prayed, verse 11, then she made a vow. Oh, our vows are so powerful we make with God. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, that's a specific prayer. Look upon your problem and remember me. What changed the situation was the Word of God says, verse 19, what changed everything? Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That didn't change anything. But the Lord remembered her. I want to tell you, if God remembers you, everything changed. The moment God remembers your situation, everything changed. But he loves to be reminded by those prayers which are honest to God. It's when God remembered her situation. Isaiah says this to all of us. As God makes a promise to us in Isaiah that we've got to understand. If you think God, because many people think God's forgotten them. God's forgotten me. But the Lord's word says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. You're inscribed on the palm of God's hand. She prayed, God, this is my situation. God, I'm barren. God, remember me. In Genesis 8, you see a situation where Moses has spent a year in the ark. A year in the ark with animals. A year in the ark being obedient to God. A year in the ark when the waters rose. I don't know how long he thought he was going to be in that ark for, but it got worse in that ark. He was locked in with God. But that the waters rose, the storms tossed him about. It's like his life was being tossed by the enemy. Sometimes we're like that. We're serving God, we're living right, but it feels like we're being tossed. We're not in a good place. And even though Noah was God's man, there was a season in his life where he was shut in. He had no options. Nothing was happening. He was still serving God, but nothing was happening. Nothing was moving. Oh. But something happened. Verse 8. God remembered Noah. When God remembered him, it says that God made the wind blow. When the wind blew, the door opened. When the door opened, he went out and he planted vineyards. And it said God blessed him. His whole season changed when God remembered him. The most powerful thing to pray to God is, God, you're a covenant-keeping God. God, you're a God who I'm inscribed on the palm of your hand. God, you remember your people. Remember me. Remember me. Be specific in the way you pray. And she prayed, God, remember me. And I want to just point something out about a prayer. Her prayer. James says this. James says it's very important we understand how to pray, because James says this. He said, where do wars and fights come? James chapter 4, among you. Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and cover and cannot obtain. You fight war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. He's saying there's a sort of prayer that misses because it's confined to your pleasures. But I want to show you the prayer that hits God. The prayer that hits God. Hannah, this woman of God, called herself God's maidservant. And he said, you give me a child, I'll give him back to you to serve God. And you know, a prayer like that, it wasn't just about herself. But it was about the kingdom of God. It was about Hannah understanding herself as a woman of God and also being concerned about the things of God, not just about the things of her own world. And she said, you give me, you answer my prayer, and how you answer me, I'll give it to you, God. So this man can be used for your purposes, not just mine. That's a powerful prayer. Pray for our children. Do you know when God answers a prayer like that? When we pray like that, God answers. The Bible says that God answers, and He wants to answer us exceedingly abundantly above all you could imagine and pray. That means your biggest prayer, the wildest thing you imagine, God wants to answer the right sort of prayer. And when He does answer the right sort of prayer, He answers in a bigger way than you could ever imagine. Let me tell you how God answered this prayer of Hannah. Not only the way she prayed was in faith, not only was she praying just about her own world, it was about the kingdom of God, the extension of the kingdom of God. I tell you what happened. God not only gave her a child, He gave her a child which Samuel became the greatest prophet. One of perhaps Israel's greatest prophet. And what was missing in Israel was the prophetic ministry. And the prophetic ministry, it's a prayer for our nation. The prophetic ministry always leads a nation into prosperity. The prophetic leads to prosperity. Samuel the prophet anoints David the king, who brings in Israel's greatest season of prosperity. But it comes through the release of the prophetic ministry. Hannah's prayers was not only answered in terms of her own well-being, but she was actually praying for the nation of Israel, and God answered her by birthing Israel's greatest promise, which brought Israel, the whole nation, back from a bad place into a place where it actually was prosperous, where it was spiritually great again, because the prophetic does that. So she prayed. She prayed. She prayed for God's kingdom, not just about herself. Yeah, there's a cry, there's a prophetic cry that coming back to the church. There's a cry that God's bringing back to the church for the prophets to birth the church again into the prophetic, to bring the church back into the prophetic. God's going to answer that, and that will bring the church back into its destiny. You know, when you pray like that, when you pray like that, you also must pray. When we pray like that, we must believe. Sometimes we pray, we don't really believe that we're being answered. But you've got to believe. James says you've got to believe and receive your prayer. You've got to believe when you pray, God has answered you as you pray. And you can tell she prayed like that because she got up when she knew her prayer had been answered. That she got up and she worshipped God. She worshipped God. You pray, you get real with God, pray God's word back to Him. God, remember me. God, remember me. Your word says you'll never forget me. You pray the promises of God back to God. God, your word says, you've healed me. And then this woman came across Eli. Now Eli by this stage was not a spiritual giant, because he sees a woman pouring out her soul, and he sees a woman crying out to God, and he sees a woman laying hold of the promises of God. And you know, when you're really praying like that, sometimes you've got tears everywhere and stuff's coming out of your nose, and like you're really doing business with God. This woman was praying what I call real prayers, not bedtime prayers. She's really doing business with God. And Eli comes in and says, oh, she's drunk. So much spiritual discerning. Now, I tell you what could happen when someone comes in and says that to you. Here it is, Kara's pouring out her heart to God. And I come to you, you're drunk. Look what she said. She said, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition. That's very important, because Eli, even though he was not in his prime, even though he was not functioning as a great spiritual, he still was God's man. He still was God's prophet at the time. The Bible says you honor the prophet, you get the prophet's reward. What is the prophet's reward? What he speaks over you will happen. And sometimes as people in the church, we miss out because we do not honor the offices that God's established. The Bible says, give those who lead us double honor. But we can see people and they can disappoint and we can move out of a place of honor. And fail to receive what God wants to give us. Because what God was going to give us was going to be spoken over us by that prophetic ministry. But we've dishonored that ministry. And honor in the kingdom, honor in our homes, homes of honor, is so important. It's so, so important. Honor the prophet. You'll get a prophet's man. Honor the righteous man. You'll get a righteous man's reward. And then what God gave her, what God birthed her, it's wonderful here. When God gave her the child, she poured out a soul before the Lord. Eli said, go in peace, the Lord has granted your position, your petition. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. And the baby was born. And then it says, the word of God says they then decided, this child, I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he lived, he shall be led to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. There's something that we need to see there about our children. And Hannah understood that her role was not just to receive the promise, but it was actually to bring the child of promise to God. And she brought the child to God. And it says, therefore I've led him to the Lord, and he lives, as long as he lives, he shall be led to the Lord. She brought the child into the presence of God. She brought the child to God. This is an obvious point, but it's so important that parents understand that our children are not ours. We are given our children. And we've got to see our role is to bring them to God. And so she believed God would remember her. She poured out a promise. She honored the prophet, and God remembered her. And what God gave her, there's a principle of the first fruits. You know, what God gave her, she gave it back to God. And then she got five more. There's a principle about money there. There's a principle about time. There's a principle about the kingdom of God of first fruits. When God blesses us, the first thing that we receive, we give back to God as an offering. And then God multiplies that. But you know, this child, it says this child grew. In verse 2, Samuel ministered before the Lord as he grew, wearing an ephod. Moreover, his mother used to bring him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to their Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah. She conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child grew before the Lord. I just want to make a point of verse 19 there. Every year, moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe. She used to make him a little robe. In other words, the thing that she believed God for, the thing that she cried out for God for, the thing that she received by faith for, through believing the word that God would remember her, the thing the prophet spoke and it happened, when that thing comes, that thing was not only offered back to God, as an offering. But every year she would go up and she would make a little coat for that thing, that child, a little covering. And that speaks about a covering, a prophetic picture of covering our children, covering what God has given us in prayer. So powerful, mothers, when we cover our children, when we not only dedicate them back to God, but we continue to provide the covering for them. Your prayers provide the covering for our children. So many of us here today, we've had Christian mothers and we're only here, we would have been destroyed. Our lives would have been destroyed. Our lives would have been shipwrecked. But for the covering of a praying mother. Remember, Michelle tells his story. I can probably tell it. But how one day she says, before she was walking with God, she had one too many tequilas or whatever. And she was in the West Indies on a lilo. And her lilo floated all the way out to, to wherever. And the tides are big over there. And she woke up with a friend. And they couldn't see the land. They were so far out. And she said, she cried out to God. And I think some boat turned up. But somehow God got through to her mother, and her mother was praying for her. So many stories like that. So many times like that where if our lives are covered by a praying mother, it just makes all the difference. It makes the difference. You know, it's Mother's Day today. And I feel today God wants us to know that whatever is not abundant, God's desire, he said Jesus to give us abundant life. And the fervent, effective prayers of your prayers, they availeth much. And God wants to encourage you to pray, to continue to pray that he will remember you because he is faithful. He has you etched on the palm of his hand. That he says, I cannot forget you. And some of us, maybe even in the natural, someone here is barren, you can't have children. God is a good father. There is nothing impossible. He wants to open that womb. But maybe some of our children, We've got natural children, but they haven't yet become spiritual children. They're not born again. And we need to be praying. We need to be remembering, believing God. Remember that our children will not just be born natural, they'll actually be born again spiritually. And we need to pray, and we need to believe, and we need to worship, and we need to stay in that position of honor. And I want to tell you, I just have a thing today. It's not just about, in my spirit today, I just know there are people in this place agonizing over the issue of children. Agonizing over the issue of children. God wants you to know. He hears your prayer. He hears the cry of your heart. He wants you to know that he doesn't forget you. And he wants you to know his plan is to make your life abundant. His plan, he said there, my plan is that none perish. His plan is to bring our children to himself. And where we may not have accomplished it, for many reasons, through prayer, through our prayers, God is going to do it. God is going to bring. Some of us are still covering our children. Our children haven't come back to God. But God says, keep covering them. Keep offering that prayer up. Keep, because I remember. There comes a day where God remembers. There comes a day where it seemed everything was shut. Nothing was moving for Noah, but God remembered him. God, remember every woman here today. God, remember every woman here today, even every person. God, remember every area of our life which is not flourishing. God, if our health is not abundantly flourishing, God, remember. Today. God, we're here to do business today. Not to play prayers. We're here for you to remember our health. We're here, Lord, for you to remember if we have lack in our life. God, you promised we seek first the kingdom, that you would add to us. God, we ask you today to remember people with lack in their life today. Father, I decree that Lord, you are faithful to remember those, Lord, that have children that are not born again. Father, remember today. We are remember today, Lord, and move from heaven. Move from heaven. Move from heaven. And as Samuel came to you, move our children. Whatever it takes, Lord. Move our children. Move our children. Let our children become born of God. Remember us, O God. You are faithful, Lord. You are faithful. Even now, I believe God is remembering. Even now, I believe God is moving in the heavens. And you know, what are the things that God's people do? But this is the prayer of faith. This is the word of faith. Is that when words are being spoken by God's men, when words are being prayed under the Spirit of the Spirit, they're actually received, not just heard, they are received. And when you know heaven is behind, when you know God is bringing your child back home, when you know God is going to heal that disease, when you know God is actually speaking to you and he is remembering you today. You know what she did? Before anything had manifested physically, it says Hannah worshipped. They rose early in the morning after they received the word, and she worshipped the Lord. And she returned to her house, and God remembered her. I just feel, this is the scriptures, the importance of praise after you hear a word that's from God. Sing, O barren woman, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than children of the barren woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tents. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Father God, you love your children. You love every child here. Father, everything the enemy would stop. Everything the enemy would stop coming forth. Everything the enemy would block from being born. Every blessing of the enemy would block in our lives today, be it with our health, our finances, our family. Father, remember today. Remember today. Let this be the day, Lord, where finances that are barren become abundant, where health that is afflicted becomes divine health, where children that don't know you become born again. Father, for your fame's sake, you will remember. You say, Lord, you cannot forget us. We claim that we are written on the palm of your hand. We ask for this today, Lord, and actually we receive the word. And we bless you. We bless you for the children that will be born again from this message, from will be born again from this word. We thank you, Lord, that your word never, ever fails to accomplish what you set it forward for.